is one of the exciting things a preacher can preach about is the coming of the Lord. Amen. We're going to be preaching today about the coming of the King. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 19. If you were here last week, we preached about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And what a wonderful time that was in God's Word. And now today, we'll beginning in verse 11, and we'll read all the way to the end of the chapter just to get the context. We'll be looking mainly right here in this text about what God is going to do when Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, that is. Amen. The Bible says here, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you that Jesus is called the Word of God. And this is the revelation from Jesus Christ that we're reading today. And he is faithful and true. So we're thankful that we can trust this message. We can trust what's going to happen at the coming of Christ to the earth, the coming of the King. And help us all to be prepared. Father, we know that we've studied already about the rapture, the tribulation period, the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And now we see the coming of Christ back with his saints to the earth. And Father, we thank you for this future event. We thank you that we will come with him. And Father, we thank you for this wonderful blessing that we will see. And we know that in that day, all things will be made right. Judgment will come upon the false prophet, the beast, and Satan himself. And also all these kings and rulers and princes today that think they are going to get away with their evil, they also will be destroyed and cast into the lake of fire. Father, we thank you that we have this message today, and help us to keep everything in the proper perspective as we sometimes are caught up with the news cycle and all the happenings of this world, which are so evil and depressing. But Father, help us to understand you are on the throne and you are in control, and that all things will be made right. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about it. For about 6,000 years, the human drama had been unfolding. Since the day man sinned in the Garden of Eden, the whole history has been moving toward one tremendous event. That event is the day when Jesus Christ returns to the world in power and glory to reign on the throne of David. We could go back to the Old Testament and see some prophecies about that. And you can look even at the birth of Christ and how it was predicted he's going to rule and reign on the throne of David. Amen. When Jesus was here on the earth, he made many promises to his followers. Perhaps none is so great as his promise that he will indeed return to the earth one day. We see this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. In fact, just flip a few pages over to the last words we find here in the revelation of God's words. And we're going to look at Revelation 22:20. What does it say? He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And everyone said, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. That should be in your heart today. Amen? Amen. These are the final words of the Lord. Amen. And we thank him for these words of that he's coming. And we ought to be preparing our part. Now, when we look at this coming, in fact, there's still a chart. I believe it's still out there. It talks about the rapture and the revelation. The coming of Christ for the saints and the coming of Christ with the saints. Amen. He's coming to catch us away. Now he's coming to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And we're coming back with him. Before that, in heaven, we've seen some scenes of the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the bride of Christ, and so forth. And we'll be preaching on that on Wednesday nights. You don't want to miss that. And the Bible's very clear of the bride of Christ. And so we have all of these wonderful things happening in heaven. And then, yet, we did look at the great tribulation, all the judgments God is going to be pouring out on the earth. And some of the things, obviously, it's not time to do a study just of the book of Revelation. Maybe God will lead into that soon. But that would be a wonderful study too. Preach through the whole book of Revelation. Amen. But we've seen some very important events. And I'm thankful for this event because now the enemies will be defeated.
Amen.
Thank God for that. And we're just sitting back here wondering, you know, when's God going to destroy these people? And obviously, we know it's not all people that we want destroyed. We're talking about the evil ones that are destroying everyone else, you know, by their corruption and by their sin. Certainly, we want them to be toppled, their governments, their power, and their rule to be toppled and for them to be judged. Amen? That day is coming. But I want you to see with me just a few important things about this. Aren't you thankful? His coming, number one, will be visible. Go back to chapter 1 of Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Every eye shall see him. You say, probably, you know, 50 years ago, we wouldn't even think that's possible. Today, we know with social media and the internet and everything, every eye will see him. It's not impossible that they can, you know, everyone, what? He's coming. How fast will that go around? the internet. And so his coming will be visible. Go back to our text. It says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." So I want you to see, I know that this coming will be swift and it will be sudden, like a thief in the night. You know, these people, obviously, we know the unfolding of the book of Revelation, but still, they don't want him to come. They're not expecting him. They don't want him to come back. But we see the appearance of Jesus. And there's some things that we need to learn about his nature, and even from his names here, or what it declares in these verses, his nature. But I want you to notice verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." Brethren, it looks like for many, Jesus is not coming back. Jesus is not going to return. But I want to remind you, he is faithful and true. He promised he's coming and he will come back. Whatever he promised to do, he's going to do, because he's faithful and true. Amen? Amen. Now, the Antichrist, on the other hand, they come to power, they rise to power riding on the back of lies and false statements. That's what we see today. I mean, we just have we have rulers that blatantly lie. I mean, they just out and out lie. They don't even cover it up. As you know, it's like they just lie. And they want everyone just to believe their lies. It is crazy. And the thing is, some people believe it because they're deceived and they're liars themselves. And so they just follow liars. Well, the Bible says the father of lies is the devil. They're just doing what their father taught them to do, to be a bunch of liars. But it's so sad when you see people believing it. Amen? Amen. Jesus, however, is true. He doesn't have to prove anything. Amen? He's just going to do what he says, and he's going to show up as king, and the world will know it's true when he shows up. Amen? Jesus has never failed on any promise, and I'm thankful that we can count on him today. But not only is he faithful and true, he's going to fight in righteousness. This is part of what's going to happen here. "And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." He's making war. Brethren, when he comes back, this is something that we don't like to hear about God. You know, a lot of people don't like to hear it. And as I read through the Old Testament, I just want you to know, and you say, "Well, Israel, they had to go and kill all these nations. This just doesn't make sense to me." Well, there are clear verses. I can point them out to you. I don't have them all written down. But these nations were reprobate. I mean, these were so wicked. Like what we see today, on steroids. They were already there. They were already worshiping devils. They were already sodomites and abomination of homosexuality. I mean, they were so evil. They were worshiping false gods. They were possessed of the devil. And God said the only hope is to wipe them out. Amen. And I know we don't like that side of God, but that is part of his righteousness and holiness that we have to reconcile with, that he's love, amen? He provided a Savior for them. He gave them opportunity. He gave them truth, just like everyone today. They all have an opportunity, but they rejected it. And the Bible is a wonderful book. And I look at Romans 1 as history. It's a history lesson. Because in Genesis chapter 10, there's 70 nations, 70 families that made up all the nations of the earth. They came out of Noah's three sons. It's all there. And then they dispersed. And they all had the knowledge of God. And they all had the truth of God. And they knew who God was. And they worshiped Him not as God. And they denied the Creator. And their foolish heart was darkened. And they became reprobate. And then God turned them over to their reprobate hearts. That's history. That's what's happening today. And that history is why God went in and said, cleanse them. Kill them. Don't save any of them alive. Because they were so wicked and evil and reprobate that there was no hope. Do we understand that about God? Because if we don't understand that, how are we going to accept He's coming back to make war? That He's not just a God of love, He's a God of war. That's where people, you know, it's like He's the heavenly grandfather sitting in the rocking chair and He just kind of overlooks everyone's sins and He wants everyone to feel good and come home and be with Him. That's not our God. That's not the God of the Bible, folks. He's holy. His love is holy. Everything He does is in holiness. Holy, holy, holy. You don't read love, love, love. You read holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Because it's a holy love. It's holy mercy. It's holy salvation. Holy compassion. Everything is holiness. And you can't go against that nature of God. We need to understand this. To understand why He's coming back. Remember, He came the first time as a lamb. Now He's coming as a lion, amen? This is the roar. It's coming to war. And we know the history of man. We talked about this. 6,000 years of human drama. And all down through history, there have been wars. And I want you to understand that most of them have been fought for foolish reasons. Just like today. And folks, I'm a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. That is true. But even the wars of America have been for foolish reasons. Not always. But some of it is sinful and selfish. We have to really have a little bit of discernment here. Not all of it. Don't get me wrong. But let's have some discernment. Because wars boil down to one thing, sin. Sin. They all come from the fact that men want power. They want authority. They try to place themselves in a position where they're in total charge of the world. I mean, these people want to be in charge of the world. Not just a little annex this and that. And I want this land. No, I want the whole world. That's where they're going. And then you have others saying, no, you will not rule over us. We're fighting you. We're standing up for what's our country. We're standing up for our people. We are fighting. And that's war, is it not? And Jesus, on the other hand, His wars are all righteous. He wars in righteousness. It's a righteous cause. It's a just cause. It's a holy cause. You know, God's not like us. He doesn't just get angry and blow up and like, I'll destroy you right now. That's not God. I mean, He knows exactly. When He acts, it's because it's already been time. He's been waiting. It's been planned out. It's according to His will. And I'm just amazed that He's given us the Word of God. Amen. We know what's going to happen. We know why He's going to do these things. But we like to think of Jesus as the man of peace, the Prince of Peace, and thank God He will bring peace. Amen. But before He brings peace, know Him as a man of war. Go to Exodus 15:3. We have to understand the nature of our God. The nature of our God. And this goes back in some of the context I was telling you. It says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. When do people preach that? Or understand that? They don't want to accept that part of God, do they? But I want you to understand, put it all in the proper context. God is a man of war. Jesus is a man of war. And we're seeing this righteous war. I'm thankful. Aren't you thankful that God does pursue peace? And he does that. He's given everyone the opportunity. I think in Russia, I think in Ukraine, I think of China. Man, there's been missionaries to China forever. You see what I'm saying? There's churches in China. There's real Christians in China. And in Korea. I knew I was in Korea. I went to the DMZ and so forth, not in war, but I was there with Brother Godet, actually. And we knew of an American who was a photographer who was able to go to North Korea, and he's taking the gospel in there. Brethren, this is real. There's Chinese that are saved that go into North Korea. They take the gospel. This is really happening. God gets the word to everyone, amen? He's getting the gospel out to even these wicked nations. And there's true saved people. And they're still praying for their nation and trying to, you know, they probably stand against everything that's going on in the world today. But they're still trying to serve God and stay alive and support their families and, you know, build the church. And it's amazing what God does. But there comes a time, brethren, when man will not repent. And there comes a time when man, think about this, man is going to stand against God. Man's going to rise up to fight the Lord. They want to destroy him. I think of hatred today of Christians, you know. That's part of it, is it? Is it not? And how they even... The Roman Empire, you know, how they treated the first church and the apostles. I mean, they beheaded them. What do you think's happening here in the book of Revelation? We read about those who were slain. They were beheaded. They came out of the tribulation. They were beheaded because they took not the mark of the beast. They were beheaded, folks. So this is the hatred that people have. They take it out on us because we represent Christ, right? We stand for God, and then they're like, well, I'm going to kill you. But that's how they feel about God, do they not? So all of the unrighteousness that we see, all the sin that we see will not go unpunished and will not go unchallenged. God will make war with the enemies of God. Look at verse 12 in our text. Look at the glory that comes with him. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Brethren, we see that this glory, God is a full of glory here. Think of this picture. Think of when he appears. You can go back to chapter 1, by the way, and read that, a description of Christ. But does this? It speaks it now that he has many crowns upon his head. His eyes were as a flame of fire, which speaks of his holiness. Brethren, he's not coming as a meek and lowly lamb. He's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's not coming in humility. He's coming in authority and glory. The first time he came, he was despised and rejected. He was a man of sorrows. The first time he came, he was a servant. He appeared to be nothing more than one more man. Remember that? Isn't this the carpenter's son? I mean, who is this? He came, you know, he was just one more in the millions, and that's how people took him. But now, he doesn't appear as a servant. He comes as a king, amen? He hasn't come to suffer. He's come to judge. He has not come to die, but now he's come to visit death upon his enemies. He's returning in power and glory. This is the picture. Now I ask you today, have you met him as your Savior? If you have not met him as your Savior, you will meet him as your judge. This is the picture that you will see of him. You see, today, he's full of mercy. But in that day, he'll be full of wrath and judgment. This is the truth. Which Jesus do you want to meet? Do you want him now? Merciful, compassionate Savior? Or do you want him? His eyes a flaming fire, the sword coming out of his mouth, crowns upon his head, coming to make war. You have to think about that today. We see his nature, but not only that, we know his names are told here in verses 12. There is a name of mystery. Brethren, let's just go by scripture. Amen. It says very clearly, he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Just accept it. Amen. There is a name no man knows but he himself. We know that today, many people refuse to know the name of Jesus, don't they? Except as a curse word or a byword. But in this day, they can't know him at all. See, the time to know Jesus is now. Know him for the name Jesus, amen, Savior. He's a Savior man's soul. But they will not be able to know him as Savior in that day. Only judge. That's why we need to call on the name of Jesus today. But not only is this name, there's a name of ministry here called the Word of God. We'll get into some of these other details here. Verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is a wonderful name. Ever since Jesus stepped into the scene, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, amen? And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. This is the Word of God, amen? He's always ministered through his Word. Think of Genesis 1, he spoke and everything was created. He was made flesh. Now we could behold his grace and his glory. Amen. This speaks of Jesus, the New Testament. Amen. Grace and glory. And everything about Jesus is written here that we need to know. It's all ministered to us through the Word of God. And when he comes, he's going to speak the Word. Brethren, this is amazing. Do you know we're coming with him? It says, verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. But I want you to understand, we're not the ones fighting, it's him. See, out of his mouth in verse 15, goeth a sharp sword. He's the one that's going to do battle. He's the one that's going to slay the enemies. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Do you know today it's the Word of God that reveals our sins? It points us to a redeeming Savior. Amen? It tells us how to live in righteousness. The Word of God tells us how to be blessed in our life. Amen? But you got to receive the Word of God today. The message that's preached. You got to receive it if you're going to be saved. But I think of this other name of majesty. Look at verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and his thigh a name written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This name is a title he has always deserved, is it not? But how many men have acknowledged him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Even when he came to his own, the Bible says, we will not have this man to rule over us. The Roman governor, even Pilate, he mocked Jesus. And he put over him, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews, in Matthew 27:37. Do you understand that Jesus is more than the King of the Jews? Amen. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Amen. And one day, everyone in the world is going to be forced to admit that. They're going to understand he's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. And this is what he's always deserved. And it's his majesty and his glory. And they're going to bow to him one day. Amen. What a day that's going to be. But I ask you now, have you bowed now to him? Is he the King of Kings of your life? The Lord of Lords of your life. Amen. That's a true message of the Bible. The apostles went about preaching this. Jesus rose from the dead. He's exalted at the right hand of God. He is both Lord and Christ. Amen. He said, bow to him. That's what you need to do today. Surrender your life to him. Give him control of everything. He's the one that made you anyway. Amen. Here's the manual. He gives you the power by his Spirit to be obedient. Isn't his salvation amazing? Not only does he save you and take you to heaven, but now he gives you power to obey. Thank God for that. But you have to have him in your life. You have to have his presence. You have to have his power. You have to know that he's King of Kings of your life. Lord of Lords of your life. Do you see the armies of Jesus here? Verse 14. The armies, that's us. it's like, okay, what are we going to do? And I would be like, man, I want piece of the action, you know? But we don't have any, we don't have to do anything, amen? But don't you know every king has an army, amen? We see the description here. Verse 14, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Amen. Now, we go back to these verses. It does tell us in verse 8, we already preached about this. And to her was granted, this is the bride, amen, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Doesn't that tell you a little bit about who's coming back with him? Amen. They had their clean and white, fine linen. So we see this army, but it's a special army, amen? It's going to be very large. It's going to be special. And we see this description of the army. We see the conscription. It's you and me. Amen. We're going to make it up. And it tells us who we are. And we're coming back with him. Now, if you don't know how to ride a horse, how many of you don't know how? Then that day you know how to ride a horse. Amen. You'll learn quickly if you've never done that. I know my wife doesn't like horses, but that day she's going to like a horse. Amen. Or riding horses, that is. So don't worry. If you don't know how to ride a horse, you'll learn quickly. Amen. So we see the army of Jesus, but not only that, the armaments of Jesus. Verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Brethren, it's very clear that the word of God is this sharp sword coming out. Amen? It says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And thank God for the word of God. It has the power to help man. It also has the power to judge man. Amen? I think we find that in the Bible. Isaiah 11:4 says, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth." Amen. "And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." This is his word. He's gonna judge. He's going to destroy with his word. We see also a rod of iron here. He's ruling with a rod of iron. This is amazing, but after his enemies are defeated, the Lord Jesus will establish his kingdom. We'll go into chapter 20 as we get into next week. You want to maybe read that ahead of time, but we'll be seeing the reign, the millennium reign of Christ. It's amazing. But he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. But that word rule is like shepherd. He's gonna shepherd us again. Amen. Read Psalm 23, because that's the kind of shepherd he is. He's going to be leading you beside the still waters, and he's going to be providing everything. And you're going to find everything you need in Jesus Christ. You're not going to be worried about anything else if you're saved. Amen. But I think of the wrath of God. This is the picture that leads us into something else about this coming that we ought to be understanding. Brethren, it's a violent coming. It's violent here. This isn't just something that, wow, you know, he came, it's over. No, this is a picture of violence. So when you think of the wrath of God there, his coming will be violent. At the end of that phrase, it talks about he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. This is like crushing grapes under your feet to force out the juices. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to crush the world under his feet. He's going to crush the life out of every opponent of him. It's going to be a terrible day, brethren. This is, I know we're behind him, right? We're not the ones fighting. He's out front. He's leading the way. It's going to be a violent day. And then he gives us this picture in verse 17, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God." But what is it a supper of? Verse 18, "That he may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, the flesh of them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great." Brethren, the fowls will be called and the flesh will be consumed. This is the violence. This is why, you know, you go around here, what happens to dead carcasses? Well, you have the buzzards come in, right? The fowls come in and clean them up. Amen. God God's cleanup crew. That's what's happening here. There's so much human flesh that the fowls are going to be called to come in and devour this flesh and clean it all up. This is terrible, isn't it? It's violent. Man is going to be reduced to nothing more than food for the scavengers of that day. In life, they were different. They were the captains. They were the kings. They were the princes. Everyone waited on them hand and foot. And they're going to be food for scavengers. Isn't death a great leveler? No matter who you are, when death comes for you, everything you had and everything you were will be no more. Death is a leveler. That's what he's telling us here. Money, position, power, intellect, everything will be gone. If you have left this world without trusting Christ, what do you have? You have nothing. So Christ is the most important person you need in your life right now. But aren't you thankful we don't have to end there? His coming will be violent, yes, but his coming will be victorious. Amen. Verse 19, aren't you thankful for the end here of what we're seeing? And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse. Remember, we see this building up and during the great tribulation. So they're getting ready to fight the Lord and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. See that? Those who received the mark of the beast, they were deceived. And they're going to be there fighting against the Lord. They worship his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone, verse 20. Verse 21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him, Jesus, amen, that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So we see these armies will be drawn to Armageddon. This is what we're talking about here, the Battle of Armageddon. We see that all these armies, and then you see the beast and the false prophet appear there with the armies. They are destroyed, amen. They're cast into the lake of fire. And then we have the doomed multitudes are also destroyed and cast into the lake of fire. So all of these multitudes are destroyed. And the devilish duo are destroyed. The doomed multitudes are destroyed. All of them will be destroyed by Jesus Christ. This, what a horrible day that will be for the enemies of the Lord. But what a glorious day it will be for us. Amen. Who love him, and for those who are riding with him, behind him and watching this. What a glorious day! If you are saved, this is not an event that you have to worry about, amen? You will witness the victory of the Lord from the air. You will ride behind him. You will see your beloved bridegroom dispatch all the enemies in an instant of time. This will be a glorious sight. On the other hand, if you're not saved, you may very well be in that crowd of soldiers that is defeated instantly. Which would you rather have this morning? The peace of heart that comes with being saved, or that doubt and fear that comes with being lost? What would you rather have today? Who would you rather serve? The victorious, glorious army of Jesus Christ, or the defeated army of the devil? The truth is, you can be saved today. You can receive Jesus now. as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What will you do today? Will you be ready for this coming? I hope you're ready for the coming of the Lord. Will you stand with me, every head bowed, every